Welcome to another episode of Ideas Worth Trying, with your hosts Haile Hiram and Ilias Anwari.
The imagination may be compared to a horse, improperly harnessed to my carriage and without bridle and reins. That horse may be perform all sorts of foolish tricks and cause my death. But harness him properly, drive him with a firm hand, and we will go where I wanted him to go. It is the same with my unconscious self. I must direct it to my own good. That's our topic today. Here with me, Haile Hiram, and with you, Ilias Anwari. Do you do positive affirmations? Do you talk to yourself? How do you see yourself? Do you have a big balloon of confidence and self-esteem going to your outside and rocking the world? Or are you down on yourself and are too hard on yourself? That's our topic today. Today we're going to talk about the power of the subconscious mind.
Nice topic.
Mm-hmm.
So I think about this when I used to do sport. I used to do competitive running. Used to do a lot of this self-talk and stuff like this, affirmations, and because a lot of doubt used to slip into your mind.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I used to remember going on runs and always be thinking about the weekend or the race or going through simulations of what could possibly happen, and then you start running faster and faster, and then you're like, ooh, I've got to back off. It's just a training, mm-hmm. a light run. Yeah, there's visualizing, self-talk, and stuff like this. This is something I've done for a long time now, since my competitive athletic days.
Yeah. It's a tool. Is it a helpful tool to have? What do you say for people, for the everyday people who aren't competing, who just like normally working and living and trying to survive?
Yeah, I think a lot of people still do a little bit of sport. So even if it's not competitive sport, it's still sport. And I remember reading this book called Creative Visualization by Shakti Gavan. So maybe I'll just read a section from this. Let's just talk about in the health section, health and physical exercise. So no matter what type of physical exercise you do, you can use creative visualization and affirmation to help you get the maximum amount of benefit and enjoyment from it. You can use visualization both while you are doing the physical exercise and also at other times, while sitting in meditation or relaxing. For example, if you like to run, picture yourself running very swiftly, smoothly, tirelessly. While you are running, imagine that you are taking a huge leap with every step, covering vast territory effortlessly, almost flying. During relaxation periods, affirm to yourself that you are daily growing faster, stronger, and better physical shape. Picture yourself winning races, if that is one of your goals. That used to be one of my goals. And if you do dance or yoga exercises while you're doing them, put your consciousness in your body, in your muscles. Picture them relaxing and stretching. See yourself becoming more and more limber and flexible. Use creative visualization to improve your abilities in your favorite sport. Imagine yourself becoming more and more accomplished until you are truly excelling. So yeah, when I used to do physical competitive sport, I used to do a lot of visualizing affirmations while I'm running, visualizing the races on the weekend. But I think that can also be converted into everyday life too.
Definitely. Like, I can give you like a story about the learning study.
Yeah.
Which is the learning of the mind about the I'm into the data science program here, and it's a big chunk of it. It's math, and it's advanced math, really proving with math, higher dimension of math, really understanding behind it, why, for example, 2 + 2 is 4, or not something else, and I started in August, and I went to the lectures. We got homework, and it was for me not understandable what I want. I was really speechless. I tried, and then I talked to myself, hey, you can do it, you just need time. So from October it went November, I didn't give up. December, the midterms. still struggling. I went to the lectures, I went to the blackboard exercises, and I almost couldn't understand what the guy's telling me. It was really like a different language. And February, the exams went. And it was almost 5 months into the program, I didn't understand it. And then it changed. I went to the professor, and he gave me like the results, which was like not enough. And then he said, "Hey, listen, you need to change. Don't give up. You can do it." I was also just the same at the beginning, but what helped me was, you know, creating a group, a learning group. And so I did it, and after in 6 months of not understanding, I succeeded, and I did it, and it wasn't able really. I couldn't do it without really possibly talking to myself, believing in myself, and but also of course this power of self-talk only comes in hand with really the action behind it. I guess you can also talk with the running part.
Yeah,
The best self-talk isn't really worth if you don't put the action behind it.
Yes, exactly. Okay, we can visualize, but also the self-talk is it also creeps in every day of our lives, as you were just mentioning, not only in sports. So we also go to Toastmasters.
Mm.
So Toastmasters is also a new challenge, especially when you do spontaneous speaking and role-playing and different projects. So you are challenging yourself, but it's you also have to sometimes visualize how a meeting's going to be, for example. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And self-talk, for example, if you're going to do a competition or maybe just a normal speech. So you want to visualize going up onto the stage, turning around, greeting, doing your introduction, and then going through all your through your speech, and maybe where you're going to be standing on a stage, and then at the end sitting down and doing the meeting. So this is very important.
Let me ask you, because it's a big challenge what I have. Your imagination, do you always control it, or do you also like in your head run crazy things on getting the worst case scenario, are always like in this theme focus, I can do it, this, you know, this like I have sometimes like this bucket of negativity or just like struggling over my head, like a really ice cold water.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have it, and how do you you know work against it?
Yeah, this is a good question. When I look back to my more competitive running days, sometimes you start drifting into these where you have a big bucket of negative thoughts, and then you got to think, okay, what am I in control of? So there's a little bit stoicism, a little bit. So I used to think, you should start thinking, you know, while you're running, you're thinking, oh, this guy, he's a little bit fast last week. He must be doing extra speed work or something. And then, oh, this other guy's also getting a bit fast. Oh, he's looking pretty good last week. He's up there.
Maybe helping the needle with him?
Yeah.
No, I just don't say
it. No, but then I started to think, oh, what can I do? What am I in control of? I'm in control of myself. So I need to control, what can I do? I can maybe go for an extra run on Sunday or something like this, or do more speed work, or change my training a bit, or go to the gym a little bit more to get stronger. So I had when I was going from like under 19s to under 20s and more the senior men races, on the track especially, then it's a bit more physical. So then I was like, okay, so I need to go to the gym a bit. So then I started going to the gym with one of my soccer friends, and he's teaching me all the different exercises and stuff like this. So then I got a bit stronger. So just focus, try and go one by one through these negative thoughts, and like, not in control of that. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. I need to worry about what I'm in control of. So I need to get stronger. I need to do this. Or if I'm running, then sometimes I would daydream and visualize that I'm in a race. And then I start thinking, okay, I'm going to be like this, then I'm going to be coming, then the final lap, the bell rings, and I start running. And then you notice that I'm actually running faster when I'm just going for a run just it's supposed to be like a 30-40 minute easy run on a during a weekday, and then all of a sudden I'm at like race pace. And then I'm like, "Ooh, I gotta slow down because."
But it's a muscle memory. It's
yes.
It's your behavior, your habit. You make you made yourself subconsciously. It's hard to control yourself.
Yeah. So then I kind of like snap out of it after 5-10 minutes. Mm-hmm. I notice it. And, oh, hang on, I gotta. Today's a relaxation recovery run.
Don't kill yourself today.
Today. Tomorrow is going to be more speed work. So it's you kind of like drift in and out of these kind of thoughts,
but just,
and visualization.
Just to a little bit to understanding. So you're talking to yourself in a normal manner. So is that something people don't do in normal day? What do you think?
I think a lot of people don't really do this. They talk to themselves, but it's more the negative thoughts. Oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. Because I know a lot of people are like, oh, it's too expensive, or this. So they have the question wrong. Shouldn't be like, oh, it's too expensive. It's like, what do I need to do to do that?
What was
or
that?
Toastmasters. Oh, I can't get up and speak in front of people. I can't think in my head and do a spontaneous speech on the spot. So it's I think most people need to reframe their thoughts.
I guess, and what was it, like Peter Thiel or was it Tony Robbins? The value of the question determines the value, the quality of your life. The questions you asking yourself, or even the question you asking in general to yourself or to general, demands your life, the quality of your life. I mean, it's nice that you're giving the support area, and I'm giving more the learning or self-development area than the from the mind thing, like learning. I'm working also on the studying, and it's not data informatics, technical things, IT. It's not one of my strengths. My strengths are more people, the communication. So yeah, I was panicked. Okay, I get 4 lectures this semester, and this week I really realized, okay, it's a lot of learning, you know, pure preparation, and then going the lectures, and then also evaluating, giving feedback, learning from that. It's time demanding, and it's like, boy, I don't have time, da, 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 and I can't, but then I
gotta work.
the fear of not making it, not passing, the fear of humiliating, the fear of wasting time. Everything comes at once, and I am asking, hey, you know, it's like this. It's my second year, so it's my second term. I have my network, I have my people. I know where I can get help. I know how I learn to achieve it. I did know how to prioritize what I can, what I not, and so that's it. So that's what I learned, and I talked to myself, okay, and now I'm going it. I know where to focus, and still it's not that I'm totally relaxed now, but now I have a plan.
So I have a continuous learning also philosophy. So subconscious mind is very important, and I think some tips for people is not to allow people or other people's fears to cast shadows of doubt on you or your projects or your ideas. So I think this is very important to remember, especially when you have a project you're telling somebody or your family, and then they have fear themselves, so they're going to project that fear onto you or your project. So, this is also a very big issue. So, this, when some people are getting married, having kids, and other people are like, oh, I'm not married yet, I don't have kids. Is it too late? Or someone's buying a house and then you're maybe traveling. So, some people that buy a house really early, and then other people that have traveled. And then those that have traveled, they've got so much experience. Life experience. They met many people, had many experiences. This also comes to another tip, which would be surround yourself with positive reinforcement.
No.
So I have a friend, a group of friends that, you know, we like to do sport, we like to challenge ourselves, even if we play putt-putt. This is a competition.
Putt-putt, what's
that? Putt-putt is like mini-golf. So even if you play mini-golf or something like this, this is, you know, you want to challenge yourself. It's positive reinforcement, you know. You're motivating each other, pushing each other higher and higher. So this is also in the gym.
Mm.
When you go to the gym, you're let me just do 60. It's like, come on, 70, come on. I'll support you. And then, you know, you push each other.
Yeah.
So this is the positive motivation. If you're alone or with somebody who would just be like, oh, yeah, you can't do 60, you're tired. or you can't do 70, just do 60 bench or whatever. So I would recommend also surround yourself with positive reinforcement.
We'll play the same game. Who play the same game mentally and also like physically, they also keep themselves active.
Yeah.
About the story of friends having like buying a house or like a family, mm-hmm. and you are alone or traveling. Don't compare yourself to others. When you are constantly comparing what you lack to what others have, you can easily get down on yourself. It is easy to become negative about your life if you are playing the comparison game. Instead, find gratitude in what you do have, rather than concentrating on what you don't have. For example, you may have a casual friend who is always getting a new vehicle every 2 years. They are always top of line, beautiful vehicles. You, on the other hand, are driving a 10-year-old minivan. You have kids the same age, the same educational background, and you both are married to successful husbands. You compare yourself to what she has and wonder why you can't all also have a new vehicle each year.
Yeah, so that would be another tip, would be like a gratitude journal.
Mm.
So maybe morning journal that could include a section about gratitude. So I think a gratitude journal is very important.
Mm.
At the moment, I'm using a one of those, the Daily Stoic Journal.
Ah, yeah.
So I thought, before I used to write a lot about, I used to have one for fitness and
finding how you make time for that. I myself find it really, really hard when I'm into the day, into the routine that I don't think it's nonsense to invest time in it.
Yes.
Like every day. How do you encourage yourself to really make time for that?
Yeah, I create extra time in the morning. So if it's a journaling, then I'm like, okay, when I had the same thought, when am I going to do this?
Yeah.
That I'm going to keep doing it. So I thought, well, the best time is first thing in the morning.
Mm.
So the first thing in the morning, I'm going to attach it to a habit I already do. Mm. So in the morning, when I started drinking one or two cups of water, normally I just have a few sips.
Mm.
I thought, no, I think it's better to have one glass of water. So then I thought, okay, that's every morning, instead of just having, a few sips of water and then getting on with my day, I'm going to have a whole glass or two glasses. So then I thought, okay, what else can I attach to my morning routine? So in the bathroom, I'll take my temperature. So then I'm like, okay, so I drink a glass of water, I take my temperature, then I have my journal. So I attach my journal to these two habits. So every morning, I'm drinking my water, I'm taking my temperature, I'm recording it, and I'm actually recording it in my journal in each day. So I just write it on the side, so then it's linked together. So I'm not going to forget it. And then I write in my one or two sentences, which I'm prompted from the journal. And then I think next year, or when the space runs out, then I just continue with my own journal. But I think if you attach a new habit to an existing habit, it makes it easier.
Exactly.
To give you another example, I went to the dentist and he asked me many years ago, when's the last time you flossed? And I said, well, I don't floss. I just brush my teeth. And then he put rubber gloves on, then he ripped pretty much, he flossed my teeth so hard that my gums were bleeding.
Oh. Ooh, okay.
So have a guess how many times I've missed flossing since that time. So I floss every day. I linked it to brushing my teeth.
Mm.
So every time I brush my teeth, I'm flossing. And I try and just do it at the end of the day. So not twice a day, but I just floss. Every night I floss. Yeah, whatever I do, wherever I go, I always, every single night I floss my teeth. It's linked to brushing my teeth. Brush my teeth, floss. And this is linked to brushing my teeth, which is, well, I guess that's an easy habit to link to because it's something you do every night.
It's a good example to take the morning. We were about the story to comparing the imagination to a horse. To a wild horse, you need to first to control, or also like the jockey at the horse, at the jockey at the horse riding on a horse. They have different. The horse, it's used to, okay, it's gonna give me like whooping, and some whooping have different meaning in there, and the horse knows through repetition how and what the horse is going to do. And I have the challenge to being a thinker, and that's also somehow is it's like stopping me or slowing me down, because if I'm thinking all the time, I'm not doing it. I'm thinking about doing it. And that's in like Emil Coe, the quote I mentioned more in the beginning. It's Emil Coe, it's a French pharmacist who in the 1890 till the 1910 opened up a clinic to help out like just like poor people who cannot afford the doctor mainly through auto-suggestion, to enabling the mind, healing the body, healing I would say like a damaged eye. And what he did is he offered like a help through positive affirmations, and what he was saying, hey, you need to in the morning and in the evening 20 times in a slow manner, in a slow voice, talk to yourself day by day, in every way I'm getting better and better, day by day, in every way I'm getting better and better. That through the subconscious is helping you strengthening the your imagination, also be able to give you that self-confidence that you need to rock the day, to rock your life. Because let's face it, you pick a guy who is beautiful in every way, who is smart, who has talent, but you take away his confidence, this person won't make it in the world. On the other hand, you put a guy who's average, but let's say he's ugly, but you give him confidence, he will make it alone through his confidence in himself, in his skills. And I think that's important.
Yeah, I think I've seen Rob Greenfield. He's an activist and is also doing things such as dumpster diving or wearing plastic bags, and everything he consumes he puts in his bags, so he carries his trash around to create awareness about how much plastic the American consumer or household uses in a week or a month or so.
That takes confidence.
But is also walking around bare feet.
Oh.
So I think you have to have confidence to walk around bare feet most places.
Definitely, definitely.
And he did a project where he was foraging for food and turning gardens into food forests. So instead of just a normal lawn, he turned it into garden beds and grew vegetables. And then he's also providing seeds to people. So some people can donate money, and then those seeds can be for free. Donated to people for free. So they can start...
Urban gardening?
Urban gardening, yes.
Okay.
So doing programs like this where you're empowering people to grow their own food, especially now when we have supply chain issues, we have high prices, we have a problem with...
Inflation.
Inflation
is a big issue.
So we should also think about the climate change and how much we actually... driving around and shipping food, and then also we have food waste, which is a very big problem. I think, from memory, I think 40% of food in the US is thrown away.
I mean, my mother, she's working in a fish store, and they're trashing in the evening. A lot of the food, bringing the food, and even though oil is expensive now, they're still, because it's like a rule how you have like a minimum supplement.
Yes.
And in the evening, though, but still, it's gonna be trashed, and it's hard. It's hard. It's just like one restaurant in one city.
Yeah, and if you multiply that through all the different cities, all the different restaurants, then you have a big problem. So,
but just going back to the topic, the subconscious mind, it's also like we have, in one way, we have the imagination, which can also go down. You fear of the challenge. You fear of then you put on the new challenge in sport, in work, in study, in family, everything. And there's a good quote about it's not my words, it's the quote, the words of Castamedo. It's he's famous for being the manager and trainer and mentor and a father to Mike Tyson. And he said, it goes like this, Gus's fear rep. When I have a new boy, the first thing I do is give him a lecture. When circumstances recall what I have said, and therefore not being intimidated by the circumstances they come to face with. The lecture of fear goes like this. All people are afraid. Being afraid is a very normal, healthy thing. If the individual was not afraid, in fact, I need to send him to a shrink to find out what's wrong with him. Nature gave us fear in order to survive. And of course, fear is our best friend. Without fear, we would all die. We would do something foolish or stupid, which would cause our death. Fear is something which has to be controlled. I always compare it to fire. Fear, like fire, must be controlled. And once it gets out of our control, like fire, it destroys everything around us. Not only the individual, everything around you will get destroyed. So once you control fear like fire, you can make it work for you. Without fire, you wouldn't have the civilization we know recognized today. But the fighter who controls his fear can now function in a manner far over and beyond anything he was capable of before. No matter how ugly a person is, no matter if he bathes or not, if he saves my life, if he's always there when I'm in trouble, then I forget about how obnoxious he is. I look upon him as my friend and accept him as such. Well, that's what fear is. Fear is my friend, and nature gave us fear in order to us to survive. Example of the deer crossing an open field and coming to the forest. An instinct telling him danger is present in the trees, perhaps in the form of a mountain lion. And that moment, the adrenaline gland injects adrenaline into the bloodstream. The heart beats faster, enabling the deer to perform an extraordinary test of agility. In the first leap, the deer possibly can jump 30, 40 feet, sufficient to get out of the immediate danger, and a nature set of speed, which nature gave it, would save it. No, we as human beings, in my opinion, retain these qualities, so they are somewhat dormant. We live in a civilized society, faced with a situation that intuition tells us danger is present. That nature asset that nature gave us to survive come to the surface, and we don't panic. If we maintain the discipline and control over it, we can use them, and they not only will help us survive the particular instincts, but continued success will give us a comfort that is so strong and a foundation so powerful in time we can get to overcome almost anything. Powerful, yeah.
Nice one. I also think people need a... Well, I think it's helpful to have a master plan in life or some core values. So when I... To give you an example, I was working at a company and it was... Well, it's a big company, international company. There was a lot of, I guess there's a lot of plastic, a lot of packaging, which I didn't like. And my core value is to try reduce as much as possible consumption. So that means buying things, but it also means shipping things around. It also means to reduce plastic as much as possible, not to buy it, to also do workshops. So I was doing workshops, but I was working at this company, which was producing a lot of plastic. And I must say a lot of unnecessary plastic, especially through the design process of different campaigns and things like this. In my lunch breaks, I was learning about circular circular design and stuff like this, circular design principles, and reading articles and sending a lot of emails and getting emails from people about different projects and teachers asking for workshops. So then I had to leave that company because it just didn't sit with my values. To continue. So then I was then I pursued other things. So I think if you have a plan, like a master plan, and then you have like your basic core values, and then you can make your decisions which should in the long term support your core values. So in the long term I wasn't going to work at this company because it didn't fit my core values. So then now I can do now I work at a company where it fits more my values, what I believe in. So looking after nature, growing food, reducing plastic, doing plastic recycling workshops, educating others to reduce their plastic, giving tips and tricks.
How would you say people find their core values? If I have a listeners asking, hey, what I don't know my core values, how can you go into that and find out?
Well, I think a lot of people know about the values of like reduce, reuse, recycle, you know. Or you want to respect nature more, so you want to do everything which respects nature. So then you're going to consume less. So, or it could be you don't want to hurt animals, so then you're going to go vegan. Or for your health, you're going to have plant-based diet. So my core value is not to eat meat, processed foods. So have a healthy lifestyle. Healthy lifestyle is doing sport. So you don't want to be working for a company where maybe you're sitting down at the computer. Because that you want functional movements. This is some of my core values where I don't really want to be sitting down. So it's like, okay, can I have a stand-up desk or something? Or put boxes or have a special platform? So if I could do all these things, then...
So could you say that, you know, the listener, the person who wants to go and find out should be reflective? Should really be reflective of its life or... I'm just seeing it. Okay, for me, it would be hard to say. Okay, what's my core values or what's a priority? Maybe I haven't, or maybe I have like too much. I don't know. Like,
it's I think most people, I would assume. Well, I see now is that most people's core values would be that they want to respect nature. They don't want to destroy it. So that should be an easy decision. And it's like, okay, what can you do? Okay. Try and do a data review, weekly review. A lot of people do a weekly review. How was my week? What went well? What didn't go well? Can I do better next week? And then when you're talking about jobs, I think this is a very big, important issue at the moment, especially with these supply chain issues and also the environmental issues and also our way of living. I think we see it's crunch time now in our way of living because this way in our society, consumer society, this has many job implications. So many jobs have to change. But then are there enough jobs? So then you see a lot of people creating their own kind of jobs. Like young people today, they don't apply for jobs. They just create their own work. If you see on... when I was younger, people playing computer games. Now you can stream yourself playing computer games. When before, you would play computer games for an hour or 2 hours, then you go outside and play sport. But this guy is really good. My friend is really good. If he did that, streamed his thing, he would be making money just from streaming his playing his computer games.
With sport or bodybuilding, the same. So now, like, they're the old bodybuilder, but they envy this generation because they have the social media now.
Yes.
Back then, they have to search for sponsors and apply, and it was really like a pain in the butt to get some money. But now, in each generation, they have the
people reach out to you.
Reach out to you. Sponsors come to you. And if you're lucky, if you're a bit influential, you can sell your own personal fitness program.
Yeah. So this is what I mean, why you don't have to apply for jobs anymore.
Without even competing and being a really professional bodybuilder.
Yeah.
You just have to be standing high in the social media context.
Well, if you offer people some good tips and stuff like this, people will come to you. Like, there's trainers who train professional athletes, and then, like, oh, I'll just give the general public some tips on YouTube, Instagram. They have a lot of followers. Word gets out, especially like a sports team. Once one person tells someone, I tell you, then you tell someone, then there's already five people, and then those people tell somebody else, and then these people have a lot of following, and then they are, information is valuable.
What was it that Tim Ferriss said? If you have an idea or have a business, try to get the first 10 people? Or was it the first 100? And
I think it was the first 100 or something.
The first 100. So start pitching the idea to friends. The first 10, if they say it's okay, then reach out and try to be a influencer. The first 1,000 or 100 or 1,000 customers. If you have that, if you succeeded, you have
a small business. 1,000 true customers.
Two true customers who really like what you do, who want to rebuy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, like, your small business. And from that, you can step up.
Yeah.
Or be happy with that, you know. The subconscious can also be a big enemy, but also a big help of us. So in that way, what we can...
Maybe a few things to stay away from, and then we can finish off with some positives again.
I mean, what we can advise is it's body, it's a physical body. Whether you are working outside, it's good. So you already used to work outside, you're already just training the body. It's a big help for the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Then journals in the morning. And also this positive self-talk. So, you know, seeing... don't compare yourself to others. Use positive words and with others. Be uplifting, and don't reduce consume media, news.
The news. Stay away from the news.
Yeah, and you know, positive self talk, affirmation. You know, believe in yourself, and build up a nice like an ego, and be positive and be really like yourself and believe and love yourself. Like, you love yourself so that, because nobody will the same as you do. Mm-hmm. That's a big help. And
Getting back to the news thing quickly, when I first moved to Germany, because I would do my homework after I got home, and then sometimes I'd watch the news because it was in English, I could get CNN, BBC and Al Jazeera. It would be in English, but then I would watch the news. But then this made me feel bad. So this is not good for my... because you think the world is totally destroyed if you're watching these. Because this is 2012 at the time.
Hmm.
So we had this... I think it's Iraq still going, Afghanistan. Hmm. So we had a lot of news on terrorism.
Syria. Started the revolution.
2015. And Ukraine. I had some clients coming over. So if you're watching the news all the time, then this is really playing on your emotions. So I stopped watching the news. Another thing I stopped doing was stopped going watching movies.
Okay.
I love them. So I'd be very selective about the movies.
Mm.
So before, when I used to go to movies, it used to be all about terrorism.
Mm.
And then if you see some guy with a beard on the street, then you're like, ooh, is this guy a terrorist? Or... You know, already in your mind, it's already pre-programmed. It's automatic. That's without even thinking.
Subconsciously.
Subconsciously, yes. So this TV programs and movies, I think, is playing with the emotions of people and try and stay away from this news, movies.
I mean, these days, the big one, like the big producers, the new big players, Netflix and Amazon, they do some kind of social engineering. That you really they focus on what roles, which gender or not, or people with the skin color, ethnicity plays a big role in that way, and that's where I don't want to also stop it.
Yeah, one thing I like to do now is do more projects. Sometimes I like to look at plastic recycling projects, upcycling, recycling, zero waste initiatives. Urban farming. I like to be involved in this discussion groups, watch this kind of content.
But so. Important to be that you as a person be proud of yourself, the things you're doing, and that's a big. I mean, that's what I'm challenging it. I'm doing a lot of things, but it's for me somewhat normal. And someone I'm feeling down or being too hard on myself because I'm saying, hey, I can do more. Why I'm not doing this to you, that, and being happy with the things you're doing, and mm-hmm. you know, success and happiness comes by day and day work, and continuously work on yourself, affirmation, mm-hmm. talking to yourself, be proud of yourself, really, really. Brag it, and also this. If you have a challenge ahead, you know, visualize how you overcome that challenge. And when you're struggling during that challenge, then ask yourself and talk to yourself through that struggling. Because not mm-hmm. everything in that way is bad. In my example, when I didn't understand math for 5 months, I talked to myself, okay, if this I know, I don't know absolutely, but this small section I do know, so I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not totally dumb to say that. I can do it. And also when I failed to the first test, I didn't fail with 0 points.
Mm-hmm.
I did something like 14 from 60. Mm-hmm. But still, it's 14 things I have right.
Yeah,
and that was my starting step towards my the second time I did, I don't know, 35, 40 points from 60.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, that's like small progress, small examples. But you know, you can ask yourself, reflect on yourself, on yourself's own life. You're your own coach.
Yes, I think at Toastmaster you gave a speech. I remember. He said, it was talk about speaking and stuff like this. He said, if you're going to fall forwards, because at least when you get up, you have made a little bit of progress.
That was the quote, from Denzel Washington.
Yes.
He gave a commencement speech to the University of Pennsylvania because his children were going there. And he said, man, that's one of my toughest things I'm going to do right now, like give a speech. And he said that, you know, fall forward.
Yes.
You know, where he went through, and also like Kevin Costner in his way.
Yeah.
And he failed to many of his first auditions
mm-hmm.
till the end. Till the end, he's the actor we all know.
Mm. Yeah. And I think a director now, too.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. So I think we covered a lot of topics. So I hope there's a lot of value in there for people.
Let's just quick about the book. The books, maybe you can.
I've also read the some great tips I get, Ilias, along the way over the years. Has been the book by Bruce Lipton, The Biology of Belief. And just before we finish up and you read your books, I'll just read one little section. So it's about the biology of belief. So it turns out that the programs acquired by the subconscious mind shape 95% or more of our life experiences. Since subconscious programs operate without the necessity of observation or control by the conscious mind, we are completely unaware of this, of our subconscious minds are making our everyday decisions. Our lives are essentially a printout of our subconscious programs, behaviors that were fundamentally acquired from others, our parents, family, community, before we were 6 years old. So I think this, sometimes we can reprogram our subconscious mind with habits and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and attach them to other habits, because you can get a negative, negative subconscious mind habits, negative self-talk, which has been handed down from those around you.
Low self-esteem.
Yes.
And in Germany it's called, in German it's a long word, Minderwertigkeitskomplex.
Okay.
Minderwertigkeitskomplex. I don't know the English word to be. Yet to see yourself lower as the other person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the English word for that.
I think we'll call it lower self-esteem.
Lower self-esteem.
Low self-esteem, yeah.
Low self-esteem.
You don't value yourself.
Yeah.
To that, others.
That's a huge problem, I think, that in our society.
Yes.
And especially because the parental... speak in Emil Coe, he gave a tip to parents. That parents should, in a slow voice, talk to his like sleeping kid and giving this affirmation for him. In that way, the kid wants to be improved, like in school, health, more in life in general. So because when the child or the person is subconsciously, it's more his subconscious mind opens up easily than we are in the awaking hour. This is why Emil Coe, you should do the daily affirmations in the morning. Or in and in the evening,
mm-hmm.
and it will pay off. It will pay off. Everything good takes time. So, buy a book.
Alrighty, and the book I was talking about earlier on was creative visualization. So use the power of your imagination to create what you want in your life. So that's by Shakti Givain. So that was this kind of thing when I'm visualizing running or visualizing. Giving a speech or just visualizing anything, even training, just taking a moment. Maybe you could say it's a create a vision space. So it's a bit difficult with the family, I guess, to have that space, but I guess create a time where you can visualize. So I have a little office here, so I can also just shut the door and visualize, close my eyes and just visualize what's happening throughout the event or speech or sporting event or the day.
So I guess it's never... There's no excuse like having no time. Like here, I'm single, don't have like family or children yet. But Hiram here, my co-host, here's full day busy, full day work, family, kids, so, and he's still like learning and improving himself in that way. So
bike riding also is nice. Ride the bike a lot more than driving. Driving, I think you get a bit frustrated. Riding a bike, you're like free.
Exactly.
I can get to places quicker than others, but you can also have a nice tempo and you can think about things. You can visualize things. So
that way.
Yeah.
I have for the listeners, I think if they Google Dr. Magdalena Battles, she has like the 15 ways to practice positive self-talk for success. And a nice 15 tips and tricks, like have a purpose higher than yourself. Cut overly negative people out of your life. It's a nice introduction. It's a nice way to go through.
Yes.
You know, to your own life.
Okay.
The other thing is, you mentioned, you know, this stoicism.
Yeah.
To see the both sides, to calm yourself. Seneca from the happiness of life.
From the happiness of life?
Yes.
Okay.
He made... It's a book consisting of four smaller chapters.
Yes.
And if you're like a listener, if you're lazy, you can also YouTube it. There are nice audio versions of it.
Okay.
They're all like just half an hour. It's very nice. So
Weirdly. Yeah, I've got a Seneca book
on the shortness of life.
Hmm.
Hmm. So it's also a small book. I was lazy, so I thought, let me buy this small book.
It's a very good way if you sometimes the fear overcomes you. Not having, losing, especially in these struggling times where inflation or issues coming in the news,
yes.
It's a very good mind to relax yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The other way is a classical from Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now. We really focus on the present.
Because is that also in English?
I think yes, it's also, also in English there. Because like imagination is one to bring us either into the past or into the future.
Yeah.
And this is a good way to really to bring yourself in the intuitive state, which is right now, right here. And also you mentioned about combining good habits or making bad habits hard to get it. I think we all talked about it in some of our last podcast edition. James Clear's Atomic Habits.
Yes,
it's a very good book. Also, you can find a bunch of summaries on internet on YouTube or Google.
Yes.
So now checking out, getting first information, and but if you're interested about the quotes I mentioned from Gastamero or Emil Coe, I have it from his book Gastamero. Mike Tyson and Gastamero.
Okay.
And the life of Gastamero. So, because he was the first one who used psychology within the boxing sport.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah.
You got some advices, recommendation, and really go and talk to yourself and strive to hardening your imagination and controlling your fear. Yeah.
Alrighty, hope you enjoyed today's episode. We'll see you in the next one. See you next time.